Welcome to the ABM Conversations Podcast, the number one podcast for B2B marketers wanting to explore timeless account-based marketing strategies to drive revenue, customer engagement, retention, and everything that makes sense to both marketers and sales folks. No more fluff. No more vanity metrics. Live from India, made for the world. And now your hosts, Yog and Manish.
Welcome to another episode of the ABM Conversations podcast, where we bring interesting and sometimes one-of-its-kind unique perspectives from sales and marketing experts that you might not find elsewhere. This is me, your host, Manish Nepal.
And this is me, Yagneshwaran Ganesh.
In today's show, we have Nick Bennett, an all-round B2B marketing expert, a revenue-driven brand builder, and currently the director of field marketing at logs.io. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. And for people listening to this show, Nick, can you give us a short background of your career and what exactly is it that you do as the director of field marketing at Logs?
Yeah, definitely. So you know, I actually started off in sales before switching over to marketing, and I kind of came across field marketing before really knowing what it was. And for the last 8 years or so, I've been doing field marketing for various tech companies, mostly on the West Coast and Silicon Valley. However, Logs is actually an Israeli company with a Boston headquarters as well. So basically what I'm tasked with doing here is strengthening the sales and marketing alignment, as well as driving pipeline through different types of programs and activities and utilizing cross-functionally every aspect of marketing to hit those goals.
Awesome. And we would like to open today's show with baseball, because we know that anything related to baseball, you can knock it out of the park. So we would like to start with a home run. And I and Yag belong to the part of the world where most people don't even know what baseball is. But luckily, we have cricket, which is strikingly similar to baseball. And for the listeners who are not aware of why I'm asking this question to Nick, let me explain that baseball is Nick's biggest passion out of his work. And he co-founded an amateur baseball league, which is pretty impressive, in my opinion. And because you're so passionate, Nick, about the game, and because you brought together a team of equally passionate players together on a mission, I want to ask you, what are a few things that you have learned from the field of baseball that you have been able to apply in your marketing career?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you would be surprised at how much sports and marketing kind of go hand in hand together. I feel like athletes thrive from a competitive aspect in marketing. And so a few of the things that have been important to me is the strategic piece of it. When you're playing baseball, and I'm a pitcher actually, so I'm out there, my goal is to get the batter out in as quick as possible and strategically think of which pitches I am going to throw. And you basically can translate that over to marketing, because it's like, you know, you need to strategically think where you're going to place your budget to pull the levers that you need to pull to drive revenue. On the other side of it is the competitive aspect of it. I'm very, very competitive. You can ask anyone. I'll compete with anyone on anything. It's just something that I really enjoy doing. And it's something that both in baseball and marketing, I feel like when you're competitive and you show the drive to want to win, it just makes you that much stronger in your career and kind of propels you that much further. So I think those are a few things that are incredibly important that align to both baseball and marketing.
And you know what, Nick, you know, you and I both started our career in sales. So that's something that we have in common. And I see that, you know, you worked as a sales manager, then you have worked in channel marketing, you have handled RevOps, and, you know, you're also part of the RevGenius community. And now you are into field marketing, right? So the thing about marketing field is that, you know, there are so many such specializations within a company that it's kind of so confusing even to us as marketers. You know, sometimes I wonder, the sales enablement guy sitting right next to me is actually writing case studies, and I don't know how different is he from a content marketer. So, you know, you being someone who is navigating into this world across these functions, and having been someone who has graduated as Bachelor of Science in Sport and Movement Science. You know, how did you make this happen? How do you maneuver yourselves across all this?
Yeah, honestly, you know, it's funny because I would never have thought of myself going into marketing. It's funny because when I got out of school, I actually was like, I'm going to go into doing something for sports related. And I actually never pictured myself going into sales directly out of school either. But when I came across like channel and field marketing, I was like, this is great. You basically get to do all of the exciting activities of working with sales, coming up with different activities, but you don't have a quota hanging over your head at the end of the day or the end of the quarter. So it's not as stressful, although I can't say that it's definitely not stressful every day because there is times that are incredibly stressful, but it's basically, you know, it's for people that are starting out and want to figure out, you know, do they want to become a field marketer? It's important to know that there's two types of field marketers, and there's the field marketers that think of themselves as event planners, and then there's the field marketers that are more revenue driven that truly want to be a partner to sales. You want to be seen as a strategic advisor to the sales team, and I think there'll always be a need for both event marketers and field marketers that are kind of like the 2.0s, but to propel your career further, I think it's important to be revenue driven as a field marketer because, I mean, if you think about it, you're really the face of marketing to the sales team, or at least you should be. Anything that is the sales team has questions about, they should be coming to you and you should be directing them to really any other, you know, function within marketing to help them get that answer. And it just kind of streamlines things a lot easier so that you don't have to worry, you know, who's talking to who, is there a gap in the information that's being provided? And so if people are looking to get into a career of field marketing, I think it's important that everyone should try it. And I think, you know, you see a lot of people that jump over from sales actually that go into field marketing, but you also see a lot of people that are in more of a, like a generalist demand gen function that end up switching over to field marketing as well.
Right. And, you know, you spoke of revenue as one of the core pieces, and that was really like music to my ears because I definitely believe that, you know, everybody in the field of marketing should contribute to revenue in some way. But, you know, let's go a little further into what field marketing is, because, you know, I think there's a lot of confusion in this term. As you rightly called out, you know, some of them look at it more as event planners, some of them look at it from a channel or revenue standpoint. And the best part about field marketers, as much I know, is that, you know, they pretty much have to work with everybody across the marketing department, regardless of who they are. So tell us a little bit about what field marketing is, and maybe, you know, some interesting things that happens on a daily basis. Like, what does a day in life of a field marketer look like?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm going to start with the second piece of that, because honestly, every day is completely different in a field marketer's life. And I think that's personally what I enjoy. Like, I'm the type of person that I don't think I could do the same thing Monday to Friday, like 9 to 5. Like, it just becomes monotonous, and it's something that I would probably check out a little bit early. Field marketers literally have something different that they could be working on every single day. And I think it goes to the part where, you know, you're working cross-functionally with every piece of marketing. So, you know, you're working with the content team, you're working with product marketing, you're working with the demand gen side, you're working with basically the creative team to help with assets on programs that you're launching. I think that is probably one of the only functions that literally interacts with every piece of the rest of the marketing organization, which is incredibly interesting to me. But I think on top of just marketing, field marketers deal with almost every function within the company. I mean, they're dealing with the sales team, they're dealing with customer success, they're dealing with the SEs, they're dealing with finance to make sure things get paid on time. I mean, they're dealing with literally pretty much everyone. And I try to think of like field marketing as the glue or like project manager that kind of pulls it all together. Like, everything that is kind of pipeline driven for the most part usually funnels through a field marketer at some point.
Awesome, Nick. And since you mentioned field marketing being this kind of bridge between marketing and all the teams, I know the alignment between sales and marketing is something that you are very vocal about, because I follow you on LinkedIn and I see you and Yag interact a lot there. I and Yag also believe that you are one of the prominent torchbearers of the group of marketers who advocate for a tight alignment between sales and marketing. And this topic of the marketing team being accountable to their company's revenue has popped up so many times in this show that at this point, it's not even a worthy question asking what it is or why it is important. Instead, what I think most people overlook when talking about this topic is how to achieve that level of alignment. So can you give sales and marketing folks listening to this show a list of 3 to 5 solid actionable bullet points on how they can close the gap between the two teams?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think one of the biggest pieces of it is communication. Communication is key. And not even communication from just like marketing to sales, but it should be kind of a two-way street, because, you know, it should be where marketing is joining sales calls. They should be joining, you know, customer calls occasionally. They should be joining QBRs. They should be joining presentations. And then vice versa, when marketing is doing their QBR, the sales team, or at least sales leaders, should be the ones that are joining. And there should be constant communication, at least weekly, if not a couple times a week. And if the communication is something where, you know, you're maybe talking once a month or even biweekly, honestly, it's not going to be enough. You need to be talking a lot more, because there's just so much that needs to be covered, and it only strengthens the alignment. I think another piece of that is coming up with goals that or metrics that both of you have agreed on. So like marketing could come up with their metrics and they could base the numbers on what they want. Sales will have their metrics and they could be completely different. At the end of the day, you're going to be in silos and it won't benefit anyone. But if you have your, you know, CRO or VP of sales basically working with the counterpart on the marketing side to say, okay, our SQL goal for this quarter is going to be 100. At least you're both aligning on what the goals actually are, which will then help kind of close the gap between that sales and marketing alignment, because everyone's at the end of the day working towards the same goal. And then I think the last piece of it is, actually, you know, I'm gonna throw ABM in there. So developing target account lists with sales counterparts, because, you know, marketing can basically say, okay, these are our target accounts, but does sales really care what those target accounts are? Because marketing could say one thing, sales could say, oh, I don't care about half of these accounts. But if you're developing that target account list together, then your ABM strategy is going to be that much more effective.
That is something, because I know, you know, Yag is not here, right here in the same room with me, but I can sense him smiling behind the mic.
Yeah, definitely.
Whatever you said sounds so much like what I've heard Yag talk about so many times. He's actually written a lot of these things in his book about the alignment that needs to happen between sales and marketing. So yeah, it's always a great thing for us to hear our guests validate our beliefs. So thank you for that. Before we proceed further, it's time to thank our sponsors, Zest.is, as usual. And I want to keep this promo short, because it's a lot better experiencing Zest on your own than listening to me or Yag harp about how it's a Chrome extension that sits on your browser, which helps you discover and submit great quality blogs, podcasts, infographics, videos, yada, yada, yada. And the best part is, its intelligent algorithm personalizes your experience by suggesting you a content feed that is unique to your taste.
And you don't have to believe what Manish and I say, though. You know, just go to zest.is/contentboost and try it on your own. Of course, you're going to get a $75 off when you mention that the ABM Conversations podcast sent you. So back to our discussion, you know, Nick. Now we'll switch to one of the areas that you know, you and I both are extremely passionate about, personal branding, right? So when people think of personal brands, they usually or automatically start imagining marketing gurus or say Instagram influencers, TikTok models, you know, who post tons and tons of content and videos every day. But most of the salespeople I know aren't keen or, you know, you don't see them often building their personal brand. You know, of course, there are some exceptions like Justin Welch, who was on our show recently. But you, on the other hand, are a staunch supporter of building a personal brand. You know, you spoke about it even today. And I want to give you a virtual high five right now because, you know, we align on this thought so much. And, you know, just but back to the topic, let me ask you this. What, in your view, is the difference between, say, reputation and personal branding? And maybe tell us a little on, like, you know, how it has impacted you as a field marketer.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, it's actually a really good question. And I think that personal branding is something that you create and that you want to be viewed as because you've built it up. On the flip side, I think reputation is basically how someone perceives you. I've had lots of conversations with a lot of people about this too. And I think that, you know, I tried to originally say that they're two completely different things. A lot of people on the flip side have basically told me that personal branding and reputation go together. And it started to, that, I guess that's one of the good things about disagreeing on LinkedIn, which is a whole nother thing. But I think that, you know, the more I thought about it, when you build your personal brand, it does influence the reputation that people have on you. And I think it's important as you're building your personal brand to make it basically as, you know, real life as you as possible. When what I talk about on LinkedIn is exactly how I would be in real life. I don't want to like BS anything or try to be something that I'm not. I try to provide value and I try to make it where if you see me in the streets tomorrow and you ask me the same question that you asked me online, I would give you the same exact response. And then that's where reputation comes in, because if you build a personal brand on value, the reputation that people will kind of perceive of you is that you're somewhat of a thought leader and that people really kind of value the information that you put out there. And so it's interesting because there's, you know, I would say LinkedIn is very heavy on the sales side of things. And it could just be, you know, who I'm connected to as well, but there's not many failed marketers that are basically building their personal brand. And honestly, I could probably count maybe besides myself, one or two others that are posting content occasionally. But my goal to build my personal brand as a field marketer is to really just kind of be the voice for other field marketers. I want sales and rev ops and basically everyone else that's out there to know that field marketers are an incredible value to the company that you work for. Their value is so much more than an event planner, and they can literally propel, you know, from a marketing standpoint, the revenue for your organization. For me, it's actually, you know, I've really focused the last 7 months on building my personal brand. And I've, you know, I've been able to go from about 2,000 followers to just about 11,000 in that short period of time. And it's opened a lot of doors for me. I mean, honestly, we probably wouldn't be having the conversation right now if it wasn't for me posting content on LinkedIn regularly. And that's really kind of been my journey these last couple of months. I've been able to meet so many amazing people, been able to have a lot of conversations. I've been able to help other people that are younger or junior in their marketing careers trying to figure out what they want to do. I'm happy to always provide value and answer questions because I know that, you know, when I was starting out, I leaned on a lot of other people and I'm just trying to pay that forward. And I'm hoping that as I continue this journey, it will only, you know, help further my career. And I definitely think I'm on a path for success with this.
Right. I absolutely love what he just said. And, you know, I can't agree more. And for the people who are listening to this, you know, I can really vouch for what Nick just said, because he's not just someone who posts on LinkedIn that he's open, but he really does talk to you when you DM him. And then, you know, you can have some real good, authentic conversations with him. So I absolutely love that. And, you know, Nick, there is also a school of thought where some people feel that, you know, personal brand will never impact the brand of the organization that you work for, which I definitely don't agree. And personally, I've seen you move from Clary to logs.io to, you know, today, the conversation that we are having. And I think you as a field marketer and the kind of brand that you've built for yourself as an individual has definitely contributed to the organizations that you've been into, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm 100% with you. The people that say that your personal brand doesn't influence the company that you work for, I'll argue that that flip side all the time. Because if you think about the brands that are strong out there, and like, I'm just going to use Gravy as an example, or Sweetfish Media, or, you know, Clary, or Gong, like all the people that build their personal brands, you immediately associate the company that they work with back to them. And it may be something, you know, I may never have a need for Gravy from a personal standpoint, but I will always know that they put out incredible content and that it's important to be able to kind of leverage that going forward.
Right, absolutely, totally with you. And you know, one thing that I wanted to keep a little later as part of this conversation is something that I'm going to bring up now. You know, Nick, you know, let me ask you this: how has you know, the COVID-19 disrupted field sales? Because I know it has changed field sales and field marketing a lot. And you know, how do you think is the present situation going to chart the course for you in the future?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's made basically thriving in a digital world that much harder. When there was in-person events and when people were able to get together to network on a regular basis, it was a lot easier. We could say, okay, you know, if you had an account that you were trying to target, you could say, let's go grab lunch or dinner. With COVID, it's basically made things where you have to figure out how to thrive in a digital world. And on top of that, with every other company doing the same thing, you have to figure out how to even kind of stand out further. Because yeah, we could, you know, there could be 30 companies and they're all kind of doing the same, you know, webinars and, you know, virtual events, but what are you doing to kind of separate yourself from the pack? And I think that's basically, you know, I think honestly, as a marketer, it's helped from a creative standpoint to really propel the brands that have thought about that forward. And you know, for the future, it was funny. I was actually just having I was on an internal call earlier and we were talking about events. And I said, honestly, I don't think in-person events are going to be back until the second half of next year. And even so, the digital aspect is always going to be there. It's never going to be 100% in person again. There's always going to be a mix and you still have to figure out how to thrive within that mix. And the people that do it will have success, and the people that just kind of don't have the creativity and kind of lean on what others are doing, you know, they may have some success, but they'll never truly get to the point of remarkable.
Right, absolutely. You know, in fact, we had Chris Walker join us like a few episodes back, and he very clearly also, you know, I quote him, he said, if you have not found an alternative to events, and if you're going to wait for this to come back, it's your fault. You know, you can't get clearer than that, right? So, you know, one thing I really love about you talking about the COVID scenes is that you've been extremely positive on how this has impacted you. And, you know, there have been several times or several forums where you've gone on and specifically said that 2020 has been a great year for you. Now, is that a personal assessment, or, you know, are you talking about this from a professional standpoint as well?
Yeah, honestly, I think both from a personal and a professional standpoint. I mean, 2020, I've been able to start my new role at Logs, where, you know, I moved up kind of from a career aspect, which was a big step for me. And then, you know, I've been able to kind of really, you know, shape something and build something from scratch within that. But then also, you know, from a personal side, you know, building my personal brand from nothing was important. Being able to play baseball all summer across many different leagues with, you know, hundreds of people and no one having a COVID issue, so we could continue to play the game that we all enjoy. And then on top of that, you know, just being able to spend more time with family. And I have a 2-year-old daughter as well. And like, just being able to kind of spend more time with her, slow down a little bit, you know, look back, because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, who knows if we'll ever have another pandemic. I mean, hopefully not, but it's important to just enjoy what you have now, rather than try to, you know, wish it forward, just to kind of get rid of it.
Awesome, Nick. You know, Nick, sometimes I and Yag like to pretend that we are these hosts of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire TV show, and we offer a few of our selected handpicked guests a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be part of this AVM Conversations podcast rapid fire questions round. So at this point in the show, you can either call it quits or proceed further with the next round, where I'm going to ask you a set of 5 questions to put you on a spot. What do you want to do, Nick?
I'm ready for the questions. I love coming up with things on the fly.
Great. Let's do it then. So I'm going to switch on the clock timer. My questions are going to be very short and quick, but your answers don't have to be the same way. You can take your time, go to depths, and answer them in your own pace.
So, got it.
Number one question. Which one do you enjoy more? Pitching in the baseball game or pitching to your prospects when on the field, and why?
Ooh, honestly, pitching in baseball field, because honestly, it's just so relaxing for me to get out there. You clear everything from your mind. You don't have to worry about everything that's going wrong in the world. You can literally just go out there for a few hours, play the game that you love, like focus on that, and then, you know, go back to what life actually is.
Nice. That's very heartwarming to hear. Number two question. Is field marketing more about enabling the buyer, or is it about enabling the seller?
Honestly, it's about enabling the seller, because, you know, basically the sellers within my organization is my customer. I'm trying to have them succeed by crushing their goals, and in turn, I mean, I think, you know, we're also enabling the customer, but my first focus is the sellers.
Great. Question number three is kind of a piggyback question on what Yag asked you earlier, and it is, what's better according to you? Is it building a personal brand under normal circumstances, or building a personal brand during tough times like COVID-19, and why do you think so?
Yeah, I mean, I think building your personal brand during COVID kind of is important, because I mean, when we were all kind of locked down back in early, you know, February, March, and even April, it was something where everyone was able to use LinkedIn as a platform. You saw so many people on there, so many people active. And I feel like that kind of gave me the starting point to be able to build my audience on.
Great. I kind of knew that answer was going, and answer was coming, and I loved it. Thanks. Question number four. What is the best piece of advice you have ever gotten in your line of work?
Ooh, that's a good one. And honestly, I would say never be afraid to fail. You know, it's important as a marketer, even as a failed marketer, to try things that are outside of the box, but don't be afraid of failing. And if you are going to fail, fail fast, because you can always course correct and get better. But if you stay with the same thing that everyone else is doing, then you're never truly innovating.
Awesome, Nick. And for my next number, I want to ask a question that I sincerely think no one has ever asked a marketer in the history of podcast. Who is your all-time favorite rapper, and why?
Oh man, that's a good question. It's, you know, I have a lot of favorites. You know, you could go back to Biggie and Nas. I'm really big right now into this guy called NF. If he's not very mainstream, but if you listen to him, he's really good. Jedi Mind Tricks is another one that I have always liked. And then, you know, I'm always open to other rappers that, you know, I've just never heard of. That, you know, I like music where there's a message behind it. And if it's someone that has, you know, an important message, or just a message that I can kind of resonate with, I'll always listen to it.
That's great. And please don't let the dogs barking in the background noise distract you. But if you don't mind, can you bust a few lines of your favorite rhyme song for us right now?
Oh, man. I feel like I want to appreciate you for putting me on this podcast. I couldn't be more thankful for letting me get my message a gas. Everyone wants to know what field marketing is like, but at the end of the day, we're all just trying to come alike. We don't know if the goal is to drive pipeline or revenue, but what I do know is I'm here to support you.
Wow.
That was great. You know what? I thought you were going to just, sing one of your favorite rhymes, but you just made one on the spot. That's amazing.
I did. Yeah. And honestly, I'm not usually very good at that. So I tried to come up with something that was literally revenue related. And that's actually the first time I've ever done that. So,
Well, yeah, I mean, talk about building a personal brand and doing something for the first time. And to be honest, we did pick up this question based on the post that you have made where you have tried to bust rhymes on LinkedIn, which is one of its kind in itself. So great.
I appreciate it.
You know, this is really amazing. You know, as Manish said, Nick, you know, I was thinking that either you're going to pick up some of your favorite songs or something that you had written in the past, maybe, you know, something like you wrote for what you wrote for Rev Genius. But like, I was amazed that you kind of, made something on the spot. That's amazing. So, you know, Nick, since you are an amazing person, I'm sure you also have something really good to share to our audience as well. So if you had to share a parting message to the folks listening to this podcast, these are people typically who have about 5 to 8 years of, B2B marketing experience. So if you had to share some pearls of wisdom or something that you want to say as a closing note, what would that be?
Yeah, honestly, I think that everyone should get out there and just, you know, start writing content, be consistent about it, build your personal brand, because you'd be amazed at the doors that it will open for you throughout your career. And on top of that, if you ever have marketing related questions, you know, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn, because I try to answer every message that gets sent to me and provide value to those that are asking questions. So never be afraid to reach out to me. I'll do my best to help you.
Right. So he actually, you know, by default, naturally pushed me into the next question. I was going to ask you that, you know, how do people connect with you if they want to?
Yeah, absolutely. LinkedIn is probably the spot to find me. It's where I spend probably way too much time. But also, you know, I'm very active on Rev Genius and Revenue Collective. So if you're looking for a community of sales, marketing, RevOps professionals, reach out. Definitely check them out.
I'm surprised you didn't mention Spotify, because I'm sure you should be there too.
One day.
All right. So, thank you so much, Nick. You know, we covered so much in the last 30, 35 minutes or so. We loved the conversation to every bit. And to all the folks listening to this podcast, that's that from us on this episode. And until we catch up with you the next time, this is bye from me, Yag.
And this is bye from me, Manish. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the ABM Conversations Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share your comments with us. We're constantly looking for your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions to make the show more relevant to you.